Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Coming to you guys live from the hotel. We're in Seattle. You got the cool picture behind me if you're watching. If you're not watching, that's okay. It is time for our flagship program where we break down the 49ers Seahawks matchup. Obviously, things have been crazy this year for the 49ers. Have been crazy for the Seahawks too, who, you know, they come out, they get off to a red hot start, win three straight. Now they're in a little bit of a slump as well. So you've got both the 49ers and the Seahawks coming in wounded. Seahawks dropped back-to-back games, lost to Daniel Jones without his best weapon. And so the Seahawks, they're struggling, but they're in first place. And this is their first divisional game. So there's a lot on the line for both teams. Whoever wins this is basically in first place to some degree in the division. Now there's a lot of football left to be played, but there's way more at stake for the 49ers, who are already 0-2 in the division, already 0-3 in the conference. I don't know if there's ever been a team to go 0-3 to start in the division and win the division. You've got to control your division. Like we say this all the time. The NFL is the number one priority for every single team, 32 teams, win your division. And the 49ers have had a stranglehold on the NFC West for a long time, since Shanahan showed up, basically. Like, you got into 2019, and that's just what it was from that point forward. So hopefully the 49ers get back on track and take care of things. Speaking of back on track, what's up, Jax? We got a new YouTube member. Thank you so much, Jax. You are absolutely incredible. Starting the morning off freaking awesome. I love it. Appreciate everybody in the chat, all the hashtag CCs. Countdown crew, you are the best. What's up, Raphael? Ooh, RTP in the house. Man, we were hanging out last night. We had such a good time at the 49ers Rush Road Trip. I got the shirt on last night at the press box. And big reason why we're going so early today, I know it's a Thursday game, but we're going to record this episode, put it out there. Then we got to get over. We got to set up for the tailgate. And if you're anywhere in Seattle, man, you got to come hang out with us. We're at the press box, one block south of Lumen Field. All you can eat, all you can drink, premium liquor, premium drink. I mean, you name it, we're going to have a blast. From 1 to 4 p.m., come say what's up, man. Get your tickets, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. We're not sold out yet, but it's getting closer to that. So check that out. So if you know anybody in Seattle, tell them go say what's up at the press box. And then afterwards, we'll be partying there as well. So if you guys want to come out, shout out to the man, Alex, Seattle Niner faithful chapter, man. You guys were awesome. Freaking incredible. Alex on the mic, I loved it. What's up, Captain? And shout out to my man, Josh, 49ers faithful forever, who – producer of today's show. He helped so much with just, you know, getting all these different episodes written and researched and cross-checked and all this stuff. So shout out to him and Eric Meisner, Juan Solis for all the clips that we're going to be using. And so let's start there. 49ers coming off a really, really bad game that they should have won against the Cardinals. You give away two division games so far this year. Here was Kyle Shanahan after the loss against the Cardinals and kind of how you're supposed to go from there.
Yeah, that's all we talked about on there. I mean, we'd love to sit here and get pissed, and we'd love to be able to do something about that, which has happened, but you can't. You can't do anything about these games once they end. I tell the guys the next time we'll be able to do something is Thursday, and it's better to only have to wait till Thursday than have to wait till next Sunday. So we'll come fast, but always when you have a Thursday night game, like, you know, we always say the biggest thing is rest and recovery. So I hope they're getting out of that locker room closer when I get back. Hope they're home as fast as they can, get as much sleep as possible, stay off their legs tomorrow, just hydrate, rest, and come in Tuesday. We'll have a plan for them on Tuesday, and we'll get it all in on Tuesday and head out on Wednesday.
So that's kind of where they are. Like, look, it's very easy, and it's kind of the job of fans and whatever else in the media to look back and figure out what's going on. But on a short week as a coach, man, you move forward. You got to move forward. Dwelling in the past, not going to help anything. So you've got to find a way to get everything under control, get your game plan together, take care of injuries, move forward. And that's kind of what they've got to do. And right here, Narsh, yeah, we get this and we go on a roll. Please. That's what we're all hoping for, man. Appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you so much. Hashtag CC. Bobo, he says, hashtag CC. How's the stadium takeover looking, John? Man, we faithful show up here. And one of the interesting things, just getting to talk to people that have showed up, this is our fourth year throwing an event in Seattle, which is awesome. Love it up here. And the 49ers, the local chapters are freaking awesome up here. But also, so many of the out-of-towner Niners that came out to our party last night, the common theme was, this is my first game in Seattle. This is my first game here. It's been on the list. First game here. First game here. And so I hate that the NFL keeps making the Seattle games on Thursdays. I can't stand that. Hopefully next year it'll be on a Sunday or a primetime game or whatever. But I don't know. I think there's going to be a very, very large group of 49ers fans that are here. I understand coming off the loss. We're 2-3. I get all that. I understand that. But we're the faithful. And the faithful show up. I mean, just yesterday I met 49ers fans from Germany, from Canada, from New Zealand, some from Mexico, like just yesterday. And so people are coming out. And I know if you're listening to this and you're in the Bay Area, you know, it's different whenever you can go to games all the time. People playing, fans, 49ers fans playing these games out when the schedule comes out. A lot of these people only get to see the Niners once or twice a year or once every other year. So whenever they get these games set up, they're not going to miss it just because they're 2-3. What's up, Big Papa? My man, appreciate you guys. And Jason right here, can't wait to see everybody, the faithful, today at the press box and in Lumen. That's what I'm talking about. Mike, appreciate you guys dancing. Now, let's do this. Let's go through kind of the schedule that the Seahawks have put together. They come out, they win three straight. They beat Denver, they beat New England, and then they beat Miami. The quarterbacks that they played in that one, right? You got to pay attention to those names. Now, you beat who's on your schedule. It's not their fault. That's not what I'm saying at all. But like Bo Nix in his first NFL start, you barely win, less than a touchdown. Jacoby Brissett, yeah, they just switched. You know, they benched him. They're going Drake May. You win by a field goal. Then you play Miami without Tua. Yeah, it blew them out 24-3. That was their most convincing win. But, like, that was one of the worst games in the NFL, one of the worst offenses with Miami without Tua, all that stuff. Then you go to Detroit, and you get blown out. Got blown out by the Lions. And, you know, it was just – I don't think there were any punts. It was just ridiculous. No defense played in that game at all. Offense was humming, and the Seahawks offense is great. We'll talk about that. And then you lose to the Giants by more than a touchdown without Malik Nabers. Like – they're struggling. Their defense, stop me if you heard this before, is not good. It really isn't. Now, the scheme's good, and I love their head coach, Mike McDonald. I hate that they got him, but he's pretty damn good. And so whenever you look at just kind of what they've been through, this is a crossroads moment, because if they win this, the Seattle Seahawks are going to have kind of a stranglehold, perhaps. Is that the right way to say it? Kind of a stranglehold on the division, which I think is so huge. But if the 49ers win it, they vault up to first place. Yeah, you've got some tiebreakers with the Cardinals and the Rams and all that stuff, but that'll solve itself. You get to play both those teams at least, you know, one more time. So it's just, this game is huge. And I'm sure the NFL is sitting back, smiling. We love that this is on a Thursday night primetime game and everybody's going to watch it because the implications are huge. The 49ers have been the top of the top of the NFC. And so everybody is going to be pulling for the Seahawks. Everybody that's not a Niners fan, they want new blood, right? The 49ers, the Super Bowls, the NFC Championship, we're there every year. So a lot of people are going to be pulling for Seattle. So I think that's interesting. Now, again, real quick, let's dive back to the Niners. You win against the Jets, you blow them out. You play against two great offensive coordinators that abuse your brand-new defensive coordinator. You lose to the Vikings, you lose to the Rams. Then you go out and you handle your business against New England. You win by 17, and then you throw away a game against Arizona. Just threw it away. Now, how do you take what's happening there and rebound, right? We already heard from Kyle and kind of what he thought about – you know, look, you just got to get out there. That's huge. So let's switch now. Let's go to Kyle Shanahan. Behind enemy lines. My bad. My notes are bad. That's my fault. Let's go to the new head coach in Seattle. You know, Pete Carroll's been there forever. He is now gone. This is Mike McDonald talking about the 49ers and his thoughts on them. And he even gets into a little bit of the Kyle Shanahan times he's gone against them in the past whenever he was with Buffalo.
Look, they've been working on this scheme, and it's been evolving for a long time, you know, 30 years. So we've been in Baltimore. We've gone against Kyle when he's in Cleveland, and then since he's been in San Francisco. So we're both familiar with each other's schemes. And it's almost like it's a division opponent, you know, to a certain degree up to this point now that it is. And they do a great job. Same looks present, you know, runs and passes out of the same looks. The quarterback is able to play really fast in that system. The run game is complementary, and they do a great job. They know what they're doing. They target stuff right. And so, this game is a 60-minute battle of who's going to outplay who for the length of the game. And it's always been that way for whoever they play. And we got a great challenge ahead of us.
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work, you put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy California red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And so, like, one, that's a very boring press conference. Hey, guys, got to learn how to bring some more energy. Kyle Shanahan press conference is way better. Thanks to Eric Meisner for that one. He runs our social media. Awesome dude. So, Mike McDonald, first-year head coach, was with, you know, defensive coordinator for the Ravens under the other Harbaugh. He also was a DC, you know, he coached with Michigan, the other Harbaugh. He's coached under both Harbaughs. But he fought his way up, and – you've got to give him a lot of credit because, one, he's the youngest head coach in the NFL currently. They went from the oldest to the youngest, which is interesting. He started as a high school coach in Georgia, then went to the University of Georgia, go Dogs, then Baltimore, then Michigan, then back to the Baltimore Ravens to Seattle. And not only did he get hired, three of his coordinators got hired as DCs. Like, his scheme, which is basically an oversimplified, complex blitz structure, it's working. And probably my favorite thing about Baltimore tape, the one thing that they're probably what got him the head coaching job and all those other guys' promotions, it is this very simplistic scheme that marries front-end pressure with back-end coverage. There's not a lot of mishaps, not a lot. And so you're generating a lot of pressures without blitzing. It's a lot of fire zones and kind of whatever else. And so blitzing, you bring it 5+. They'll bring 4 consistently. You don't know what 4. You never know what 4. So it's not really like Brian Flores, but it's a much simplistic version of that with a lot less coverage busts. I love this scheme. I really, really do. And their offensive coordinator, again, man, this is a new, fresh, new blood type coaching staff. Nepotism ain't got no room here. Ryan Grubb, first year in the NFL. Dude's never been in the NFL. And he's their offensive coordinator, and he's awesome. You know, worked his way through the college ranks. He was a high school coach. That's where he started. Kingsley Pearson High School. Then he went to South Dakota State as a running backs coach, wide receiver coach, Sioux Falls, Eastern Michigan, Fresno State. This is a DeBoer guy. So the head coach that was at UW, University of Washington, now at Alabama, they hitched their wagons together and kind of blew up. You know, Eastern Michigan, Fresno State to Washington Huskies. And he was the OC for Washington Huskies for 2 years. Now he's an offensive play caller. But it's a fun scheme where they throw the ball vertically. They're always in 11 personnel, and they highlight very simple passes for the quarterback, which has worked really well for Geno. It's just a fun coaching staff. They get to their defensive coordinator, Aiden Durday. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. Born in England. I mean, we got a Brit over here as a defensive coordinator. Played linebacker in the Europe League. Are you kidding me? First time DC, so you got first time head coach, first time OC, first time play caller in the NFL, period, and first time DC. Just absolutely love it, man. Like, I'm mad that they're in our division. Ain't gonna lie. Now, I'll take our coaching staff over them. And Seattle is basically saying, like, hey, we're going for a huge upside. They're swinging for the fences. Will it work? Who knows? They're 3-2 right now. Last 2 weeks are rough, but once more tape gets out there, that's another reason why I wish this wasn't such a short week. We'll see how it goes. Now, injuries for both teams are gigantic. Jordan Elliott's out for the 49ers. DFF's out for the 49ers. Hufanga's back on IR. Jake Moody's out. Chris Conley is questionable. Charvarius Ward's questionable. That's a weird one. We've highlighted almost all week how Charvarius Ward has not been good this year. In fact, he's been terrible. And, you know, not that I think a change should be made, but we're getting close to that area where it's like, all right, let's get the rookie Renardo Green some snaps out there for number 7. I don't want it to go that way, but, I mean, shoot, we're paying him $13.5 million this year. Hopefully we get back the number 7 that we remember. The Seahawks are out without a lot of guys too. Byron Murphy Jr., their first-round pick, one of my favorite players in the draft. Like, I hate the way I hate the way the Seahawks are building my team. And if you follow us in the draft, you know, like, when the Seahawks make picks, I'm just like, they always go after my favorite type of guys. They really, really do. But Byron Murphy's out. Chenin Nwosu, he's out, one of their best pass rushers. Tyreek Woolen, their number 2 corner, he's out. Derek Hall, their speed rusher, is questionable. He's going to play. Julian Love, their probably best defensive player, safety, is playing out of his mind this year. He's questionable. The hamstring, probably going to play. Boye Mafe, another speed rusher, questionable with the knee, probably going to play. And, you know, you step back and you look at the history of this matchup, which these two teams have played a lot. 49ers are down. Overall, the Seahawks have 130, 49ers have 122. We went through that kind of 6-year spree with Russell Wilson where we just got dominated by the Seahawks. that shifted when Kyle Shanahan showed up, whenever they traded away Lil Russ, whatever. And so, like, now the 49ers have started to win a lot more of those games. We'll see what happens. Last time we played them was December 10th last year, and handled business. Brock Purdy has never lost to the Seattle Seahawks. Hasn't lost to them. Now, Christian McCaffrey had 145 yards rushing, was off the charts. Deebo had 7 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown. Ayuk went for over 120. Like, so we'll see what happens. You got it. It's a completely different offensive scheme, different defensive scheme. It's just all different there. So can the 49ers figure this out on a short week? We'll see. I know they've been watching a lot of this tape. And the good news, again, Kyle Shanahan's coached against this scheme several times. Hasn't had a lot of success. Just going to be honest there. Has not had a lot of success. Now, before we dive into super deep, let's go in on the Seattle Seahawks defense. Let's go through the ranks, all those things. But before we do, the number one way to support this show right here, guys.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
All right, I want to say thank you to Bro Montana. Appreciate the super chat. He says, another slugfest tonight. Seattle has key injuries. Both teams do. And, you know, is there a team that's more injured? Yeah, it's us. But we played the Rams, who were the most injured team maybe in NFL history by week 3 or whatever, and we still lost. So we'll see. It's really just who wants it more. We got to talk about those things. Like, it's just who wants it more. What's up, Salty? Says, great party last night, John. Can't wait for today. So, yeah, of course you enjoyed the party. He won both our trivia competitions and got all kinds of cool stuff. So I bet you had a good time, Salty. You're the man, bud. Can't wait to hang out again tonight. Sonia, both Seahawks and 49ers need this game. Let's see who wants it more. And that's been a problem for the 49ers. They have not wanted it more. When two teams go out there, who's going to be denied? The 49ers. Rams wanted it more, took the game, stole it from them. Cardinals wanted the game, took the game, stole it from them. Now you got another division game. Like, you can't just say we're the more talented team or the better team. Yeah, you are. Talent doesn't put points on the board. That's great. All the 99s, all the Pro Bowls, all the whatever. No, no, no. Don't care. You got to be hungry. You got to go get it. Where are the freaking captains at? That's huge. Like, step it up, man. Step it freaking up. What's up, Val? How we doing, man? Appreciate you guys. Yeah, right here. And this Javier, appreciate you. He says, you know, Seagulls game is going to have to be the mind changer game that we need. You got to step it up. You've got to step it up. Gosh. All right. Let's talk Seattle defense. You know, they're interesting. Let's go through their ranks. This is out of 32 teams, mind you, okay? Points allowed, 17th, their average. Yards allowed, 11th. And, again, you got to remember, they played Bo Nix. They played Miami without Tua. They played the Patriots. Like, they played Daniel Jones. And so they're giving up these numbers. They should have a top-5 defense with who they've played and the situations they played. And when they played capable offenses like Detroit, they got blown out. Blown out. Fourth, they've only forced 4 turnovers, which is 23rd. 12th in first downs allowed, 22nd in interceptions. They haven't got a lot of picks, which is weird for this defense because it's designed for turnovers. But turnovers are so hard to replicate and predict and to have sustained continuity there. It just doesn't happen. 20th in rush yards, 17th in rushing touchdowns allowed. That's the thing. You can run on these guys consistently. Last week, you played the worst defense against the run ever. You just quit running. You just quit. So are you going to keep doing that? And I saw a question in here. Aaron, I appreciate you, man. He says, you know, John, Lombardi talks about run game efficiency and that we're 20th in the league with Mason. We were first with McCaffrey. What the heck is run efficiency? Yeah, it's EPA numbers. I don't dive into EPA a lot. This is kind of the small ball mentality and, you know, all that kind of different stuff. EPA is not a bad thing. But football is played with pads and with helmets and with athletes. It's very easy. How do I want to go about this? One, I want to say I respect Lombardi very much. I think he works really, really hard. I think he puts a lot of great content out there. I'm a big fan of that dude. Do I agree with everything that he puts out there? No. And does he agree with everything that I put out there? God, no. Like, nobody should agree with me. I argue with myself. If you're just focusing on efficiency and all those things, that's fine. Sometimes you just have to force your will. In football and in sports, there's pads for a reason. And so the 49ers have constantly checked out of runs because they're not getting the numbers that they want. And that'd be great if you didn't lead the team in drops or, you know, have some of the most drops in the NFL. You didn't have all the turnovers. You didn't have the busted protections. You didn't have the busted protection calls, all that stuff. And so, yeah, we don't have CMC. I get that. But you've got to stay true. You've got to stay true. And, you know, again, don't take it from me. Take it from George Kittle.
And us being a one-dimensional football team isn't very good.
So simple. It is so simple, guys. Like, I get the EPA. I get the efficiency. I get all that stuff. You've got to impose your freaking will. You have to. You have to. What's up, Thaw? She said, do you think we will re-sign Robert Saleh? I do not. If I was Robert Saleh, I would not come back. He said he's taking the year off, and I think he's going to be better off in college personally or D.C. at another spot. Jeff Ulbrich, dude, I would sign that dude. But we'll see how that plays out. You're not going to make a change on a short week anyway. If any change or addition would take place, it'd be on the bye week. That's a couple weeks out. So I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. Now, back to Seattle's defensive ranks. They are ninth on third downs. They're pretty good third down defense. They give up a lot on first and second down. They buckle down on third downs, and they're second best in the NFL on fourth downs. 49ers have struggled in those two areas big time, big time, big time, and they're ninth in the red zone. 49ers are one of the worst red zone teams in the NFL, which is crazy. Again, going back to EPA and stuff, just keep throwing the ball in the red zone. Let's see what happens. Yeah, you're not getting the best EPA when you run it, but guess what, guys? Passing it all the damn time ain't working. I know somebody's like, well, the one touchdown they had was a pass. That is true, but you are 1-for-6 on all those. Run the damn ball. Seattle, what's up, Alex? Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for your generosity. Here's $10 for the salty prize fund. Also, F the Seahawks. I love it, man. Yeah, it freaking salty was winning everything yesterday. That's awesome. Hey, and that's what I tell people. You know, we always do trivia and competitions and whatever at our events. And I tell him, man, if y'all listen to the show, you get all the answers. Salty's in the show. He listens. He knows. He knows what's up. So that's what it is. All right. Let's go to the defensive players to watch out for. Number 20, safety Julian Love. He's number 3 safety from PFF. He flashes on tape, man. He is playing some really good ball. They have 2 good speed rushers, both questionable, but I expect both to play. Boye Mafe and Derek Hall. I love Derek Hall coming out of Auburn. Him against Colton McKivitz scares me in pass pro. In the run game, we have a huge advantage. Again, so many advantages in the run game. Just run the damn ball. Just run the damn ball. Just run the damn ball. Weaknesses, linebackers aren't as good as their rankings suggest. This is a very linebacker-friendly scheme that, you know, Baltimore brought over, you know, Mike McDonald brought over to Seattle. They're good linebackers, but they're not Pro Bowl level, all pro level guys, but they're playing well. With Tyreek Woolen out, which is probably good for him. You remember they benched him last year when we played him because he just couldn't tackle our guys. He's too soft. They're going with rookie, number 28. You'll see him out there. Cornerback Nehemiah Pritchett. He's got 20 career snaps. He's starting. And it's not like he's a second round pick like our rookie. This is a 5th round pick from Auburn. So, you know, that's one of the things that's going to be so fun to watch. A rookie starting corner with only 20 snaps on a short week. You got Debo, you got Ayuk, you got Juwan Jennings. Please take advantage. Please scheme that guy. Let's get some double moves his way. Run the ball at him. Force that dude to be physical first, then take advantage of it. It all starts with the damn run game. Run the freaking run the ball. Opens everything up. Their scheme, they do a lot of cover one, single high safety, and cover three. So cover one, they're in 28% of the time. Cover three, they're in 31% of the time. And again, the difference, 49ers do cover one, but poorly. We're by far the worst cover one team in the NFL because we don't marry the front end and the back end. That is what makes Mike McDonald's scheme so great. Everything is in sync at all times, at all times. Blitzing tendencies, you know, it's interesting. When Baltimore played the 49ers last year on Thanksgiving and Brock threw those five, or the, all those interceptions, and it was terrible, whatever, they only blitzed them 9 times that game. Now you look at them this year, Miami, they blitzed 8, Detroit 9, New York, they blitzed 20. So they're struggling manufacturing pressures. I think probably 12 to 13 blitzes is what I would bet on. So with kind of what that looks like, right? So we'll see. Now, does that mean they're not going to be getting pressures against us? Yeah, they are. Why? Jake Brendel can't call left from right. He can't count to four. You look at the interception and the last game that cost, you know, the very end of the game, you have four blitzers on your right, or four possible blitzers on your right, three possible blitzers on your left. He calls a left call, a lucky call. Everybody slants to the left. You got a free guy coming off the edge or right up the gut there. Like, oh, man, we need a new center. We need to run the ball. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. Anyway, Rainier says, Boye Mafe supposedly not playing tonight. I saw the questionable. I've not seen that he is out. That would be huge for the 49ers. He's super, super quick. Explosive dude off the side. Now, let's flip. Let's go to the other side. Let's talk Seahawks offense. And we're going to start with Kyle Shanahan, kind of previewing what Seattle does well.
I think Geno's doing a hell of a job. Yeah, he's got three big weapons in the pass game, including his tight ends also. His running back is as good as it gets also. So they got some talent over there, and they can stretch the field, and Geno can get hot. So, I mean, losing our last two divisional games, having won this week's huge. Playing against Seattle is always huge. Going up there is always huge. And then always in the NFL, it's tough to get ready for a Thursday night game, but I think everyone enjoys them because it's very rare that you get to sit back and kind of enjoy that for 3 days and watch the rest of the league. And they're a lot more fun when you win, and when you get to sit back and be pissed off for 3 days, it's not nearly as much fun.
There's a lot at stake for us, for all of us, fans, whatever else. Like, man, 49ers handle business. All is right. All is right. 49ers lose this game. 0-3 in the division. 2-4 record. Yikes. Now, I can say this, and he even mentioned this in the clip. You know, the good thing about Thursdays, this past week has been insane, by the way. Just getting all the content, all the film out, the trip, travel, everything. It's been awesome. I love my job. I really, really do. But he said, you know, we get to sit back for 3 days. I am saying this. I'm going to take a day off. I haven't taken a day off this season yet. I'm going to be taking a day off. I don't know when it's going to be. I got to talk to the wifey and figure out when she's can kind of – it's nice. And so it's good for the players. It's good for the coaches. It's good for the fans. But, man, it's so much better if you do it off of a win. So let's go through the ranks for the Seattle Seahawks offense. 11th in points. 7th in yards. They move the ball well. 21st in turnovers. Geno turns the ball over. We know that. He turns the ball over. Fumbles, interceptions, it's just what it is. They are 5th in first downs, 3rd in passing yards. Man, they chew up the field offensively. They move up and down the field as well as any team in the NFL. 20th in pass touchdowns, 16th in pass yards, 32nd in rush attempts. They don't run the ball. They run the ball well. They don't run the ball often. They don't run the ball often. 22nd in rush yards despite being dead last in rush attempts. 4th in rush touchdowns. They do run the ball in the red zone, one of the things we don't do. 19th in third down percentage. They do most of their work on first and second down, offense and defensively. It's really, really weird. They give up a lot of yards on first and second down defense. They get a lot of yards on first and second down on offense, and then third down, everything just wet blanket, like just puts the fire out. They're 10th in the red zone. They're good, man. So Let's do this. I don't like doing this. Let's go to the 49ers defensive coordinator, which I do believe Nick Sorensen should be our defensive coordinator. The 49ers should not be making a change right now. If that change was going to take place, which I don't think it will, that would be at the bye week. Am I losing confidence in Nick Sorensen day by day, play by play, press conference by press conference? Yes, I am. But here is Nick Sorensen talking about Seattle and what makes their offense kind of go.
I like all our corners. I respect DK a lot. I respect Tyler Lockett a lot. He's done it for 10 years. And even Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think they have a really talented group, starting with, you know, Geno and the running back, too. I mean, it's, I think overall, if you look at their skill group, it might be the most talented one we've played overall. When you put the tight ends in it and all the receivers, really both running backs, and then Geno, who can still do it. I think he still moves around well enough. He's been getting rid of the ball fast. I know how, he's got a great arm, and they've been getting a lot of explosive plays. We talked about the explosives. I mean, they've been explosive. I think they're top five in explosives. So.
It's so, yeah, I mean, their offense is working. It's their defense. That's the main issue. DK Metcalf's incredible, having his best year, but still disappears in certain games and certain matchups. He's not a complete wide receiver. JSN, I'm scared of him the most. I am scared of him the most. And again, Jair Brown, who's had an awful season so far. Hope, you know, there's flashes, though. Charvarius Ward's not flashing. Jair Brown, our safety, we thought he was going to be, you know, whatever, but he struggled. You go back, we drafted him in the third round. The big reason why we got him in the third round is because of Jackson Smith and Jigba. JSN toasted Jair Brown when Ohio State played Penn State. Like, his draft stock took a full round and a half hit because of JSN in college. Who are you going to be, Jair? Like, step it up, baby. If there's a game where we could use you, it is this game. Come on, man. Geno, five touchdown passes, four interceptions. Hasn't had one game with more than one touchdown pass. Spoiler alert, we're betting on that one big time. He had one passer, one game with the passer rating over 100. He's been good. He's been Geno. It's like, where does Geno fit on the NFL ranking quarterback list? Man, he's like right in the middle. It's just kind of what he is, like a, you know, 20 to 12 quarterback. He's that kind of second tier. He's good and, you know, good leader. Seahawks love him. Seahawks fans love him. They want to stick with him. I hope Geno's the quarterback there forever, because it's just like you're never going to get top five quarterback play. You just can't get it. It's not who he is. But he is a good quarterback. But, man, anyway, he's been sacked 13 times. Now, Charles Cross, their left tackle, he seems to be having the season of his life. He's young. I think it's his third year, but he seems to be the guy. Running backs, dominant. Golly, there's a lot of talent offensively for the Seattle Seahawks. But we talk about the 49ers offensive line all the time and the issues. Man, the 49ers offensive line is way better in every single way, shape, and form besides center than what what the Seattle Seahawks are putting out there. I mean, the right side is so bad. Anthony Bradford, the right guard, is the 69th, nice, out of 70 guards in the NFL. He's second to last. Stone Forsythe, their right tackle, he's 74th out of 78. Colt McKivitz is ranked way ahead of him. Now, they just signed Jason Peters, who's older than me. Amazing career. He'll be a Hall of Famer, should be. Undrafted free agent, one of the coolest stories ever. But is he going to be a right tackle already off of a short week? I think they'll have him there as a backup and might rotate him in some, but I doubt Jason Peters starts week one. I mean, tackle's not too big a deal, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So, but their offensive line is terrible outside of their left tackle, and our left tackle is better than theirs. So a lot of 11 personnel, 78% of the time. So they're going to be in three wide receiver sets. We're going to be in nickel sets, which is a good thing. Isaac Yiadom is, well, how do I say this? DFF's not playing, so our number three linebacker would be D. Winners. But you don't want D. Winners in coverage on JSN, so we'll be in our nickel package. But whenever we do that, Demo's going to kick inside. Demo's going to kick inside, and so we'll see what that looks like, and he'll be covering the slot. Man, it's – There's a lot of ways the 49ers can handle this. In the past, we've let Charvarius Ward travel with DK Metcalf. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And maybe that's what Charvarius Ward needs to get good, but he traveled a couple plays with MHJ, and he got mossed on a – not mossed, he wasn't even close – got destroyed on a slot fade. So, man, I'm just not sure exactly how they're going to step up and stop these wide receivers. I'm really, really not. Now, let's go to Geno. And listen to him talk about the 49ers defense.
Obviously, they're great at, you know, causing turnovers. You know, you talk about personnel, you know, Nick Bosa, you know, one of the better DNs in the league. And then you got Fred Warner, Mike Backer, one of the better middle linebackers in the game. They got playmakers all around the defense. They play together. They fly around. They got swagger. You know, they're proven. You know, they believe in themselves. And so, you know, they come right in. They're not going to try and, you know, trick you as far as scheme goes. They're going to line up and, you know, force you to beat them for 60 minutes. And so we respect them. They've been a great team. I know about this rivalry. You know, I was in the league when, you know, they were going at it with Russ and Kaepernick and all those great players and, you know, Sherman making that big play on Crabtree. So, like, those are things that we know about. It's all throughout, you know, the building. It's all on the walls and stuff. It's always going to be a slugfest. And so, we, like I said, we respect those guys. They have some great players on their side, and they're proven. And, you know, as far as we go, we've proven ourselves as well. But it's a big-time matchup and, you know, a lot to be excited for.
So I really enjoy hearing him talk about the past and all those things. Man, that's huge. You got to go out there and you got to answer. Geno's not very good. He's good. He's not very good. Salty, appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you so much. JC, the 49ers, Rush rocks. Our team is incredible. Thank you. I agree, Salty. Let's go, Niners. Beat the Hawks. Seattle faithful represents. Gosh, it's going to be fun. I'm so pumped about today. And I know it's been frustrating. We're stressed. Things haven't gone the way you want them to. But, man, this is why we're fans. It's all on the freaking line. We're all adrenaline junkies. That's who we are. And so we get to see the 49ers play the Seattle Seahawks with their backs against the wall. How are they going to respond? We haven't seen the team be in this situation. We really, really haven't. Oh, man, I'm so excited about this. Ugh. I'm pumped, man. This is why we're fans. This is why we're fans. Seattle's out there. They can put us down. Man, they could end the reign of terror that the 49ers have had over the NFC West pretty much tonight. Or who's the big dog in the group? Oh, I love it, man. I love challenges. Go out there. Oh, let's go. Now, finishing up just on the Seahawks offense, tendencies, 15% play action plays, 10% screens. They don't go deep as often as I would have thought with Grubb. Being their OC at Washington, they were airing that thing out, but they had three amazing wide receivers. In Seattle. They really don't. Only 8% deep plays over 20 air yards, but very effective when they do it. Now, my favorite matchups for this game. This is gonna be fun. So, when the 49ers, voice crack. I'm losing my voice. I've been screaming too much. That was awesome. I want to cut that clip and put it out there because I thought it was funny. Not cut it like I don't want people to see it. I want more people to see it. I thought it was fun. Anyway, I'm a manly man. When the 49ers are on defense, the best matchup for the 49ers, Nick Bosa versus Stone Forsythe. Like, you heard Geno. What was the first thing you said? Nick Bosa, like, eyes get big. Like, Bosa's Bosa. And I know some of us are like, man, Bosa's not Bosa. He is. If you watch the film, if you watch it with us on the 49ersrush.com, Bosa is Bosa. He's going to get the attention of so much of what they do. Bosa versus Stone Forsythe is going to be – I'm excited. And the difference, Geno's mobile, but not like Kyler. So with Geno, you got to stay in your pass rush lanes, but you're not stopping to keep the quarterback in the pocket. It's the opposite. You want to get there. You want to hit him. That's what you want to do. Their best matchup, again, I kind of talked about this earlier, Jackson Smith and Jigba against Jair Brown or Malik Mustafa. I am concerned about our safeties. We have not had a good game from a safety at all. We got two safeties out there all the time. Not one safety has had a good game. Josh, can we play the game with no safeties? Our defense might be better. Yeah, good Lord, it's bad. So can we get a decent safety game? Their best matchup is Jackson Smith and Jigba versus our safeties. I'm scared of that matchup. I'm terrified. Best blue chip player on both teams, Diamandour Lenore versus any wide receiver. That is fun. You can talk about Fred Warner versus their running back, Kenneth Walker III. But Diamandour Lenore against JSN, awesome. Against, you know, DK, awesome. Against, you know, Tyler Lockett, the fainting goat, awesome. One of the best route runners ever. Scared of contact. Should have played flag football. But he's been doing it for a long time, so it's worked. Man. All right, 49ers offense. When we're on offense, what is our best matchup? Here you go. Y'all ready for this? I had to type this twice. Brandon Ayuk versus Nehemiah Pritchett, their rookie corner. He's only played 20 snaps. That's the best matchup. That's right. Ayuk's back, baby. We went through the tape. He beat man coverage consistently. Not in big moments, not in the second half. But in the first half, he did. And that's the first time really this year we've seen him dominate man coverage. I'm losing my voice too much. I've been yelling too much. Now, can Ayuk do that again? This game screams Ayuk and Juwan Jennings in the receiving game. It just does. It just does. Will that happen? The film and the matchup say it will. Their best matchup, Derek Hall versus Colton McKivitz and pass pro. That's their speed rush on the outside. Just chip in empty sets. Please chip for Colton McKivitz. So help me God. And give a lot of Ringo calls. You don't have to help Trent near as much. Block to the right whenever you're fanning your protection, please. Best blue chip matchup, Juwan Jennings versus Devin Witherspoon. Woo! I'm excited about that one. Now, let's share some of our bets of the week. And if you are betting with us, woo, y'all know where to do it.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit and MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, all of our bets of the week have been posted on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel, so you can go get those now. my favorite bet this week, Geno Smith under 2.5 touchdowns. That's my number one. And I bet even more, just bridging kind of, so under 2.5 touchdowns, bet that doesn't pay off too great. Under 1.5 touchdowns, that is a good payout. And so he's hasn't had one game this year with more than one touchdown pass. That's my bet for this year. Jason's my only concern, but we'll figure that out. So predictions, man, how do you go through and predict the 49ers this year? Is Kyle going to stay true to how he drafted, how he built this team, his playbook, how everything feeds off of itself? Or is he going to stick with EPA? What I should do. And all that stuff versus what works and what has got you here and what has always sustained success. Is the defense going to keep putting its players that are questionable or have, you know, not good in man coverage? Are you going to keep putting them in terrible matchups, Nick Sorensen? It's a coaching issue. Schematically, it's a coaching issue. Now, will-wise, that's a captain issue. What's going to happen? Who is this team? The 49ers are the better team. That doesn't put points on the board. I do think that we're going to see some significant improvement from really the offense in general, and I think the defense as well. Be who you are. It's a short week. You can't overthink it. Go out and do what you do. We are a zone defense. Run zone coverages. So help me God. We are a running football team with play action, bootlegs, all that stuff. Run the freaking football. We do those things. A lot of success. Mason's going to have a huge role this game no matter what. It's just what it is. I said Ayuk and Jennings. I think they're going to go out there. I think the 49ers win. I'm not betting the spread this week. I'm not touching that. But I think we right the ship. It's going to be ugly. It's a short week. It's a division game. You're on the road. But I think the 49ers win 23-18. I got a weird score. I think we're going to get some field goals. And I think we're going to move the ball. There's no doubt our offense will move the ball. Can you cash it in? Can you cash it in? So 23-18, that's two touchdowns and three field goals. I think that's enough to get the job done. 49ers, you guys are awesome. We'll be live right after the game ends, live from Lumen Stadium, which is right up the road here. But I appreciate you guys. Let's go. Whew. Hopefully we have a celebration post-game show today and not a therapy one. I don't want to be a therapist. I don't want to do that. You guys are the best. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.